podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run.
Hey folks, this is Chris. Good acoustics in here. This would probably be a first. I'm in Montreux, Switzerland, and I'm podcasting from the bathtub. So it's about midnight, and I can't sleep, so I'm doing something I haven't done in a long time, which is take a hot bath. So if you can ever take that image out of your mind, you can enjoy this podcast. So welcome, my friends. I think this is episode 46. I won't know until I get back on the internet. I've successfully relaunched the Run Run Live podcast and got my site back up and running and got all the concerned parties in line. So this is my treadmill wrap-up episode. Today we're talking to Frank from episode 1, my buddy Frank, who has a high-end treadmill in his house. So we talk about that a little bit. And so what have we learned from this Treadmillapalooza series where I've interviewed 4 treadmill companies? Well, I think the first thing that became pretty obvious to me is that if you're a high mileage or a serious runner, you gotta spend some cash, some cabbage. You gotta expect to spend, you know, a couple thou at least to get a treadmill that you're going to be happy with. I think the second thing is that there's a lot of options, but the basics are you want to look at the sturdiness of the treadmill, the feel of it, right, and the cushioning, and the motor and the controller are the big parts. And the big thing now is the entertainment options. I don't know if that's important to you or not, but that seems to be what everybody in the industry is talking about, how to plug in your iPod and your Nike Plus and all that stuff. So I think probably the last thing is that, you know, talking to Frank, it's real effective to have a treadmill in your house, especially up here in the Northeast where we get a lot of questionable weather and a lack of sunlight for 6-7 months out of the year. But at the same time, it's not a complete substitute for road miles. You're still simulating running. So I hope you enjoyed and learned something from it. I think maybe my next topic, I'm playing with a couple of different topics, but I think my next topic may be commercial weight loss programs, so that should be fun. All right, so today we're going to talk to Frank, and I'm also going to give you some cold weather tips, because I've been listening to some people whining about how cold they are now that the bad weather's moving in, and I'm going to give you some travel cast stuff from my various trips up and about this week. All right, so stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun. On with the Yeah Show.
Destination running.
Hey folks, this is Chris. Breathing a little heavy because I'm out of shape. If my calculations are correct, I've been awake for about 28 hours or so. So I got a right to breathe a little heavy. I'm hot too. It's hot here. I'm in Montreux, Switzerland on the Swiss Riviera. And I'm looking out at Lake Geneva. Big lake, deep lake, clear water lake, sort of like Tahoe, except bigger. Maybe like Champlain or one of the Finger Lakes. A lot of trees. Got the Alps shooting up in all directions. It's an overcast day, so I can't really see the tops of them, but I can make out glaciers on the other side of the lake. Pretty cool. A lot of scree slides, that sort of thing. Interesting stuff. I'm standing in front of a vineyard. All the mountains are all terraced, and there's vineyards built into all the terraces. That's the waves of the lake lapping against the pathway here. So I'm running along the pathway, and there's a dog looking at me, so I gotta go. Pretty cool though, huh? Hey, it's me again. Yeah, I'm running through some sort of medieval castle-y forty thing here on the water's edge that I missed coming in from the other side, but big stone edifice with the parapets and the French crosses on it. I'd have to go with pretty old. What is this place? This is the, what does that say? Chateau de Galon, visiting hours. What is it? Oh, here we go. From the 11th to the 13th century, rebuilt and enlarged. All rooms are finished.
Interesting. Okay. So, old building, lots of stone. Hey, new least favorite running surface, 700-year-old cobblestones. They just didn't run a lot back then, I guess, because this is awful. Real ankle-breaker stuff. Real knee-twister stuff. It's got a moat and everything. It's got a moat, and it's got, like, those crossbow ports. It's just like Disney World, man. Look at that. I'm such an American. That's pretty cool. You'd stay there, huh? And you might not have running water. He might just give you a bucket. All right, man. Gotta get back to the hotel. Some work done. See if I can get my contract landed. Adios.
And now for our featured interview.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Chris.
We've come full circle.
Yes, we have. And here we are again.
And Frank is from episode one, when we were just experimenting.
And, it's still an experiment, Chris.
And we had so much fun that we went on, and now we're at episode 46.
Oh, God.
But I did a whole, I called it my Treadmillapalooza series. And I interviewed the guy from Precor.
Oh, yeah.
The guy from Star Trek.
Yep.
A guy from Life Fitness, and a guy from, I think it was Life Systems. And that was really interesting. I've never really looked into buying a treadmill because I never really wanted one. But the basic qualifier was, don't even look at a treadmill less than $2,000.
Unless you want to hang your shirt on it, you know, and have a nice place to rest your coffee mug.
Yeah, right. If you're a runner, you know, the $1,000 treadmill is only going to last you a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
or it's going to be a bad ride.
I usually try to stay away from the ones that are made of bamboo.
See, I always run on the good ones, though, because I'm always running in hotels and health clubs, right?
Well,
so I guess I'm a little bit spoiled. I have a skewed perspective on it. But I do remember my wife brought home some cheap one of those exercise bicycles one time in our relationship, and I got on it and started doing my thing, and I bent the pedals.
Well, that wasn't the exercise bike's fault. You were probably pushing 220 then.
Yeah, I probably was. You're right. And, you know how I am. I turned it up all the way, right?
Started to smoke. Yeah, it's not supposed to smoke, Chris.
So it's downstairs. We're hanging furniture on it. Clothing, that is. It's part of the furniture now.
Right.
So you actually went out and bought, because you are a real runner, or you used to be anyhow.
Well,
last couple times I've seen you've been hobbling, but...
Yeah.
So what's up with that?
No, hobbling no more. I got myself repaired. Went into the body shop. No, I just have to pay attention to the. I've been told I have very tight hip flexors. So now instead of just ending my run and sitting down and eating dinner, I have to go through the 10 minute, 10 or 15 minute. Get the hips loose, stretch out, and it has worked miracles.
Did you guys win a brick up at Mill Cities?
Unfortunately, we didn't. Yeah,
right.
we went brickling.
Right, here's a group of guys, and all you guys are running, like, 6-minute miles.
Pretty close.
Your team, right? And you still don't come in the top three.
I know.
That's like running
not
New
fair.
England. It's just a slap in the face.
It's not fair.
I was whining about that Thanksgiving 5K where, I'm 26 years old. I ran 6:28 pace. I'm not even in the top 10 in my age group. In a 300-person race. I'm going to move to some place in Kansas or something where I can win all the races.
Well, either that or consider sex change. I've thought of that.
Oh, that's not going to do you any good either. Did you see Helena Demba, my friend?
Well, that's
from Air,
you're 40 old.
She ran 5:30s or something.
Yeah. So you're right. You'd have to move out of the country. It's probably the best
move out of New England. But anyhow... So you've actually done a real marathon training program with all the speed work and all the tempo and all the weirdness on the treadmill. So what all these guys are telling you, what's the truth and what's the fiction on training on a treadmill?
Well, I tell you, the hard part about a treadmill is the fact that you don't go anywhere. I know that seems obvious, but, I mean, you must experience this in all your hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Man, that's the mental component of running on a treadmill is just... terrible, but you like most things, you do get used to it. Now what I've come to do is I go down to Walmart and I buy, I buy their cheapest videos. You go to the bin that...
Right, the $5
videos,
bin.
$5 bin. And, for instance, last week I had to do a long run. It was a Wednesday. It was raw and rainy, I said, okay, I'm going to do 15 miles, and I'm going to go on a treadmill, but I watched all of Raging Bull from beginning to end.
Is not a bad movie.
And, you know, time passed fairly quickly. I got off once or twice, get a drink, you know, say hello to the wife, check in with the family, make sure they're still taking oxygen. And but I do love my treadmill because, you know what, it doesn't rattle. It's as quiet as a treadmill can get.
And it's a nice big thick one. Do you want to share what your brand is?
It's called a Landis. And it's after a lot of research, and when I say research, I went into several stores and I said, look, do you mind if I run on this thing for like, I could be here an hour. And the guy was like, fine. I tended to come late at night when customers were not really there. And, you know, I went to two or three stores, and I finally narrowed it down to this Landis because it's like aluminum, has it's like a Aldor motor, which is like industry standard, and it has it's lifetime warrantied. So if it ever craps on me, they come out to it up.
Good.
It had nice ratings in Consumer Reports, and it was a lot of money, but I think worth every penny. It's very quiet. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, I think either the Life Fitness or the Precor guy, they were recommending like $11,000 treadmills for the serious runner. But they have a bunch of entertainment built into them now, you know? They're all about entertainment now.
Yeah.
And same thing. When I'm in hotels, I get a lot of the ones with like the screens built into them and the movie theater type stuff.
Well, see, that makes it worth it.
Yeah, and if you can plug in a really dopey movie, you know, just... doing a long run with a dopey movie is actually okay.
You have to be careful, though. If you get too entranced with the movie, you find yourself wandering left, and all of a sudden you're on the rails.
Yeah, it's sort of like riding a motorcycle where you'll look over your shoulder to look at somebody,
and you'll
move a foot sideways and, like, you know, wipe out.
So you do have to, the movie has to be, yeah, you have to carefully pick your movie. I think I watched Casino Royale on it once, and there are some there's some serious car chases in that movie, and that almost had me on the floor. So, your action movies tend to, you got to be careful. So I went with Raging Bull, kind of a heavy drama.
Yeah, do you find it's easier or harder on your legs to run on the treadmill or about the same compared to, you know, just your regular old New England asphalt that we usually train on?
You know, I never used to think it was any different, but I am convinced. I'm convinced if you're at all sore or hurt, jump on the treadmill for a couple days. And you win back a lot of the stuff, the damage from your legs. And I don't suggest doing it very often. Like, I would limit myself to maybe 3 sessions a week. Even that's a lot for me. But in the winter, I'm out there 90% of the time outside anyhow. It's only an act of desperation. Because I've fallen outside, and I've hurt a wrist falling on the pavement, and so if it's at all dicey, I'm on the treadmill. Plus, I can do it early in the morning, and, you know, if I haven't taken care of business, I can jump off, go use the bathroom.
Yeah, that's one thing I really like about using a treadmill.
I'm really tired of it.
And, you have fluids right there, too.
Yeah, so fluids and, you know, watch the morning show, whatever, but I tend to love being outdoors. I'm sure you feel the same. There's nothing like being out.
One of the things I noticed is, like anything else, you have to sort of ease into it. So if you go from a couple of weeks not running on the treadmill and then jump on and try to run 15 miles, you get sore muscles in weird places.
Yeah, it's a different the whole set of mechanics. You're right. And that's why I say you have to kind of moderate its use because... You think you're awfully good on the treadmill, and you go outside, and, oh, yeah, that's what gravity feels like, or wind resistance.
Yeah, and you're right, and I like to explain that as it's like running.
Yeah.
It's still a simulation, no matter what you're doing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I remember that year, Brian trained almost exclusively on his treadmill, and he had some issues when he got outside. He had some issues.
Yeah, I don't know about the issues, but I know he used it a hell of a lot to the point where it needed some serious maintenance at the end of the marathon season. He got some work done on it,
we're talking 50, 60 mile weeks, full bore,
right?
Tempo. And Brian's a big boy, too. He's like my size.
Yeah, he's a big guy. So it would make the rafters in his house shake. He did say that, you know, it tended to make...
Yeah.
The family would be awake when he was running on it. This mine's in the basement, and, you know, I could be... no one would know I'm there.
So what's your guys' prescription on the Easy Hard? Do you think you have to put it up at 1% to make it like running regular?
I have never done that, I have to confess, because it feels harder than it should be, even at 1%. I mean, I have some workouts that I've done where it's recommended I go to 2 and 3%, but I think it's just a psychological thing. But I have been told repeatedly, you better put it on 1%. You know, that makes up for wind resistance. But conversely, our MVS coach has a different view.
Fernando.
He has a slightly different view of it, and he says, don't bother with 1%. In fact, the treadmill tends to work because it's so regular in its rhythm, in some ways makes you work a little harder, and you do have to concentrate. I mean, there is no, you know, varying of your speed whatsoever.
Right, and that's the other thing I really like about doing a treadmill workout.
It does get you focused.
Yeah, assuming you can trust the, you know, the way it's tuned, when you say I'm going to do a minute 30 quarter mile, it's a minute 30 quarter mile.
Right.
You know?
You better be.
You're cheating. And your pace is spot on a 6 minute mile.
Yeah.
If you do that, you know, there's no speeding up and slowing down, which is the other reason I don't like it, because sometimes when I'm doing those kind of workouts on the track, I like being able to fall over and die or, you know, finish hard.
Right.
You know, those sort of natural things.
One nice thing about this treadmill, I got to tell you this, is that it has a heart rate monitor, which a lot of them do. But this is a cool feature. You can set it to hit a target zone. Say you want it to hit 140. It will speed up and slow down according to your target heart rate. So it's kind of on autopilot. So depending on what stage of recovery you're in, it will, you know, put up the incline a little, speed up the pace, slow down according to heart rate. So you can say,
I want to go for a long run at 75%.
Yeah. Put on your chest strap, and it's good to go. It's kind of cool. I have not used that feature a lot because I keep the running simple. I don't use a heart rate monitor. I may resort to that at some point. But
well, it's because your chest is too small. The thing probably just falls up.
Yeah, they don't make a chest strap in boys' sizes. No, I like that part of it. And I've used the treadmill if I'm sore at night and I've taken a day off and I just need to walk like for 10 minutes before I stretch, I'll go downstairs, watch the news, walk, then jump off and stretch. I mean, it's a lazy man's way of not walking around the block. But
do you ever do the thing where you run on the treadmill for 5 minutes to warm up, then go outside?
I have
like
done that.
A cold day?
Yeah. I've done that because I was so bloody tired of the treadmill, I actually ended up doing... Yeah, I ended up doing my warm-up outside, came in. I don't know why I did it this way. Did the speed work on the treadmill. Oh, I think I did it that way because the streets were just icy. But I could not bear to do an hour and a half on it. So I went outside, you know, bundled up, 15 degrees up, came in, stripped down to shorts, did the workout, then repeated the process, cooled down outdoors. And it put some variety into the whole thing.
All right.
I'm glad I bought it. We put a lot of miles on it, and Dee Dee, my wife, has used it almost, you know, 3 or 4 mornings a week down here watching the morning news. And she's not so much a runner, but she'll put an hour on there to good clip walking.
Yeah, I think that's good too. It really came in handy training for Mount Washington last year.
Oh, yeah.
For me. The one in the gym, because there's no other way to train for long mountain races than just setting the incline and going.
Yep, there you
go. I set it all the way up at 15% and just go.
You can control your hill. Your hill is right there.
Right, because that's what a mountain race is, you know. And it's hard to find that kind of terrain around where I live, you know.
And you found that definitely helped you.
Yeah, you put it on 15% and just go for... You just vary your speed, you know. Sometimes you're only going like 3.5 miles an hour. Sometimes you're going 6 miles an hour, you know.
Right.
But you're never going fast.
No,
it's just to get used to that uphill cadence, really, really steep uphill cadence. So I found it really useful. Have you figured out how to run downhill on your treadmill?
I have not, but I have read in books. There is one, maybe one brand made that does a reverse hill, otherwise known as a downhill. But I figure if I ever needed to do that, I'll put, you know, a couple of 2x6s in the back of the thing.
Yeah, they don't recommend that.
No, I mean, it's probably not designed for that, but if you believe what people say about getting ready for Boston, you should try to run downhill hard. I've never tried it.
Well, you just mix it into your normal running, because we're blessed with having hilly geography around here. So, you know, the normal races that we run in the spring. So speaking of which, what's your plan this spring, or in our winter rest now?
Yeah, we're in a lull now, just shutting down the racing and trying to get some regular miles in, and then it's going to be another Boston-Vermont doubleheader, I think. It'll be my 10th Boston, so I got to celebrate that, 10th consecutive.
All right.
And then, and Brian, you know, who talked about on this program before, he's hit his 10th Boston. Now, he is very hungry for a sub-3 still.
Sub-3 at Boston.
Yeah, so I haven't quite decided if I'm ready to commit to that, but I'm going to be there, whatever happens.
You know, my opinion would be that would take all the fun out of your 10th Boston, but, you know, that's just me.
Well,
gave up on training with you guys. So I'm going to run the Hangover Classic, which they changed the name, by the way, to make it politically correct. They changed it to the Classic.
Oh, come on. What fun is that?
Yeah, on New Year's Day with the Ocean Swim.
One of these years I need to come up and join you in the ocean. I don't know if this is the year. I had my eye on something in Salem, Mass. Can't quite remember the name of it, but it's a 4-miler on New Year's Day.
Are you sure
you don't want to come up and do the Millennium Mile in, is it Londonderry, or? You ever run a mile race?
No, I never have.
It's over in a hurry.
Yeah, but I get about the same speed in a mile as I do in 26 of them, so.
One, but it's a lot of fun.
I was reading the Runner's World on the plane back. You know Gary Allen, the guy who's the race director for the Mount Desert Island Marathon?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He goes out this morning and runs the Boston course every year. That's his New Year's thing.
Huh.
Yeah, there was a picture of him.
Just as a gift to himself?
Yeah, he goes out and runs in from Hopkins as a gift to himself.
Nice tradition.
He's down with his relatives or something. So that's a nice tradition.
It is.
I won't be. I'll be swimming in the Atlantic.
Well, and you won't be alone.
No, I won't.
There are quite a few people will take you up on that challenge.
Well,
yeah, I haven't decided the New Year's Day race, but there'll be one. I just don't know.
Yeah,
I ran a fun one last Sunday in Somerville, Jingle Bell Run.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And, you know, it was a crowded event, but a nice city race, well organized. A lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, in the old days, I used to be fast enough to win the mug up there without having to swim in the ocean. But
dude, they
do
give a mug for the first, what is it?
It was
20 or 30?
Yeah, first 50.
Yeah,
you remember that back in the 90s. But anyhow, water under the bridge. So then you gonna do Derry?
Oh yeah, I haven't signed up, but oh god, yeah, can't not do Derry.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some decent weather this winter.
Last winter
there was no snow, no freezing rain, no hurricanes, nothing,
what,
you know?
What fun is that? Yeah.
Yeah. And I always tell the story how that guy dropped dead on us that day up in Derry.
Oh, God.
When it was -3 degrees with the headwind and they had the heated Gatorade.
One of the darkest moments of my running life, though, was watching this guy perish at my feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, aside from that, it's been a great string of dairies. I don't think I've missed one in many years. And, every year it's kind of a crapshoot. What will the weather be?
Yeah, you know, even the years I've been injured for Boston, I ended up running Derry. But that was the point where I realized I was too injured to run Boston after that.
Yeah, that kind of tipped the scales. It's a good gut check, Derry.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. And let's see, what else? Might do New Bedford. And
can we talk you into coming down from Martha's Vineyard?
Well, you notice I didn't mention it. It's just the travel, Chris. But that's what probably everyone says. But once you get there, you're probably damn glad you made the trip.
It's a beautiful race, and you can do it in a day. You can go in and out in a day. And it's on a Saturday, too.
Okay. And you've done it that way for the past couple of years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, make
a day out of it.
Yep, you drive down, get the ferry over, run the race, get the ferry back. And it's only 20 miles. What's that going to take you, 2 hours? Come on.
Only half as long as it takes you to get there and back. Well, anyhow.
All right, I'll let you go. Thanks for coming on. So the treadmill is a good investment, huh? For the
it's a good investment. I used to call it the dreadmill, and it still is the dreadmill because, you know, it's not as nice as running outside under the bright blue sun. But it's a necessary evil if you really want to become the full runner.
in the wintertime in this part of the country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in our neck of the woods, yeah, I would say, yeah. Good investment. All right, Chris, great to talk to you.
All right, we'll see you later, Chief.
Hope to see you soon.
Bye.
Bye now.
Here's today's quick tips.
Okay, folks, this is your equipment check tippy thing for the week. I got some good stuff for you here. Pay attention, because if there's one thing I do and I know about, it's running in the cold weather. I have run in some really cold, well, I mean, not Antarctica cold, but, you know, close to zero Fahrenheit and below with a lot of wind chill, blizzards, ice, that sort of happy stuff. So it's really, you get used to it. Now, and I'm happy now that it's officially winter and I can roll out all my cold weather running tips. So although I'm pretty horribly behind in my listening to podcasts, I did catch a couple over the week when I was out running around. And I did notice a fair amount of whining from the podcasting community about the cold weather. So, you know, finally, here's something I can be an authority on. So being from New England, we get some severe weather in the winter. As my friends in Quebec, Martin, if you're listening, and Francois, if you're listening up there, they say summer is 2 weeks of bad skating. That's what they say. So it's not as cold as in Quebec, but it's cold where I live. So I listened to a new podcaster, Jen, from the Running From podcast. She's a very nice person. She was struggling to figure out what to wear because she's a new runner to be comfortable. So I get to talk about winter running clothes. You know, different people have different solutions, and you can spend a bunch of money. There's tons of great technical winter running stuff out there. And one thing is for sure, you need to invest in a good thick pair of winter tights. You know, they're a lifesaver. They really protect your knees and your legs. You can get them online, any running store. But they're going to cost you $60. So $40 to $60 at the cheapest. But it's worth it. You know, as for the rest of it, you know, how do you dress so you cannot be miserable when you start and not overheat once you get going? That's the trick, right? You don't want to have to, like, take a sweater off and carry it with you. You know, also, I'm going to talk a little bit about keeping hands warm, too. So my secret weapon, and you know this if you run with me, is the fuzzy yellow sweater. And this is an oversized fleece sweater. It has a hood. And a hood you can cinch up, and a half zipper. And inside on the front, it has a wind barrier, like a strip of nylon across the chest. So underneath this, I wear a wicking shirt, either a long sleeve or a short sleeve. Sometimes I'll go with two if it's really, really cold. And you got to wear something to wick, so that base layer has to be tight and it has to wick. That Under Armour stuff's real good, even though I don't own any of it. It's got great reports. Something tight and wicking. So this is a real flexible piece of clothing, this fleece, because it breathes. It wicks water away. It wicks your sweat away. If it gets cold, you can zip it up, and you can pull the hood up, and you can cinch the hood tight, so you're really just looking out of a little hole. You know, there's been times I've been struggling into a headwind and sub-zero temperature with just, you know, looking out that hole. And you can also pull the sleeves. The sleeves are baggy, so I can pull the sleeves over my hands and get my hands inside the extra long sleeves, right? And then conversely, when it gets warm, I can take the hood off, I can zip down the half zip, open up the chest area to let some air in, and I can roll up the sleeves so it should expose my arms. So typically that's good, you know, for a 20-degree swing in a race. And you'll find that within a long race, you're running a 20-mile race or a marathon, the temperature can swing 15, 20 degrees during the race, especially if you're starting in the morning and going through the day. I've had weather fronts come through and had the temperature drop 15, 20 degrees at the 10 or 11-mile mark in a race. So the fuzzy sweater, you know, it's a half-zip fleece hoodie with long sleeves, and it wicks the sweat away, and it's good. It's good. Sometimes it freezes solid with the sweat, but it makes like a little caramel shell on the outside for you, like a soft candy inside the frozen shell. It works great. And so the other thing, I was listening to my friends Bo and Luke Duke over at the Trilogy Running podcast, and they were whining. Sean was whining about having cold hands. You know, especially the hand that holds the bottle. If you're running with a bottle in one hand, like I do, that hand gets very cold because it's exposed to the elements. You know, typically if you can tough it out, your hands are going to warm up at some point. And, you know, and you can sort of, you can regulate the heat in your body by changing your effort level. You run hard for a while and you'll warm up. But, and the other thing you do is switch hands with your bottle, right? So the hand that you, that I'm not holding the bottle in, I can pull up into my fleece and have it inside the fleece sleeve till it warms up, and then switch hands. And it's, eventually I warm up. But, you know, one of the sort of ironic, I guess, things is that I usually carry my bottle in my left hand, and the finger that freezes first is the one with the wedding ring on it, and that makes perfect sense because you have this band of gold, and gold conducts heat really well, and it freezes that finger. So that's kind of funny. One trick you can do is if you're running with a water bottle is you can fill it up with hot water or warm water so that by the time, you know, your 20 minutes or a half an hour into your run, it's cooling down, but it'll keep you warm until you get there, right? The other thing you can remember is that your bottles are going to freeze, too. If you're out for a long time in the sub-zero weather, your bottles are going to freeze solid. So you, one of the things you can do is you can put Gatorade in it. You know, when, and Gatorade has a lower freezing point because it's got salt in it, so it lowers your freezing point by 2 or 3 degrees. You can also modify those cheap, like foam beer wrappers or the can cozies to put those around your bottle to keep the contents warm, keep it from freezing. And you can, especially if you're stashing bottles along the way, you can wrap them up in plastic, keep them from doing that. You know, we did that, Frank was talking today about the Derry race, and we ran one time. It was 0 degrees with a good headwind. It was awful. It was miserable. And they actually served hot Gatorade at the 11-mile mark, and it was awesome. It was the best thing in the world. So, now there's an actual clinical thing. Some of the runners that I know, serious runners that I know, suffer from an actual condition known as Raynaud's disease or Raynaud's syndrome or something. It's where their hands don't get enough blood and they go numb. So if you have chronic cold hands, you may actually, it may be not just because you're a runner with a 30 beat per minute heart rate, you may actually have a condition. So if you have chronic cold hands, what they do is you'll see these guys wearing big mittens, or they use those heat packs that they put inside their big mittens or their big gloves. And, you know, you don't want to wear too big of gloves, and you don't want things that are going to absorb water, because that'll just make it colder if they fill up with sweat and get to be, you know, 10-pound hand weights. And I know a lot of veteran runners, but I've never heard of anyone getting frostbite on their fingers in a race. They may be uncomfortable. I don't think you're going to lose anything. Although my friend Ted told me that he once got frostbite on somewhere much more painful in a snowshoe race, but that's another story. I told you I was going to be trying to give you some inspiration, so I'm going to keep that up. And you can write me emails and tell me to stop it if you want, but it's my show and it's all free, so hey, I can do what I want. I was reading Dean Karnazes' book, and it really resonated with me, especially his Western States try, because I'm an ultramarathoner, believe it or not. You know, there's a point where, and I never would have thought that I could run that far. But, you know, at some point you try, and then you just do it. And there's a point where you transcend pain. Your body and your mind is amazingly capable of this. And you just don't know it until you get to that point. And then it happens. And, you know, when you've been running for 8 hours, and you're confronted by a 6-inch deep mud pit, and there's no way around, and the only path is through, you know, your mind transcends, your body transcends, your entire being transcends. And it's not an insult. You don't feel offended or wonder why someone would put a stinking mud pit in the middle of the trail at mile 45. You look at it without being, you know, without breaking a stride, you push on through, you transcend. And that's really what life is about. You know, in the low patches, in the hard bits, that is really what you learn about yourself and what you're made of. Sometimes just to keep moving forward is a Herculean task in itself, but you must, because to stop is to leave a life unfulfilled. You know, is it crazy to run a marathon? Maybe, if you've never done it, but the biggest barrier is in your mind. If your body won't let you finish, is it really your mind speaking to you through your body? You know, you can do so much more once you have done it. You'll wonder why you thought it was hard to begin with. Now, is it crazy to run 50 miles to complete an Ironman? Yeah, it's crazy, but it's all crazy, but It's completely doable. The only thing in your way is the decision to try. And you may fail, but in failing, you will have learned where the edge is. And you will have learned how to beat it. You will have moved the edge. And, you know, that's not to say it doesn't hurt. Guess what? It's supposed to hurt. It's supposed to hurt. Somehow in our culture, we've been conditioned to see all pain as bad. I mean, I'm no masochist. I don't seek out pain. But I'm not afraid of it. And I do understand that the path through to success, even to greatness, is surrounded on all sides by some form of discomfort. If you have never been uncomfortable, have you really lived? You know, if you haven't pushed through the discomfort zone, how do you know where the edge is? How can you say you've lived a life fulfilled? And it's not just physical, it's mental. You know, I sit here and I wonder about how my first ultra marathon was so easy. You know, why did I let it become a non-event? Where was that pyrrhic heroic victory, the stuff of gods? And when I look at the pictures, there's nothing heroic. There's a tired, you know, old man clutching a bottle and moving forward. And that's my victory then, you know, to be tired and still moving. So you, my friends, are bounded by your desire. You, my friends, are bounded only by your enthusiasm. You're bounded by what you believe you can and cannot do. So you need to make peace with the pain. You need to keep moving. Don't listen to the naysayers because they're afraid to try. And they're so afraid of pain, they don't want you to try. Do it for yourself. Find your edge and then run beyond it. Run over the edge because you will transcend and find a strength that was always in you. You will become a shaman of your own inner hero. You will become godlike. Live, my friends, and I'll see you out there. Thanks for listening. That's episode 46 in the can. Next up on the new Run Run Live 2.0 schedule, I'm trying to hook up with the guys from Zappos Shoes for next week. Now that I've resurrected the podcast, I'm going to try to keep it to a weekly schedule with episodes coming out on the weekends, Friday through Sunday sometime. And I got some good runs in this week, even though I've been traveling like a maniac and I've had some troubling muscle tears in my back. Let's just say I've transcended. We do what we can. I'm just finishing up Dean Karnazes' book, and maybe I'll work in a review of that. I've written some good content, having my butt in a plane all week. I'm going to be putting that up on my blog over at the Run Run Live website this week. And maybe, just maybe, now that I've missed the holiday season, I'll get those two ebooks up for you guys. I wish everyone a safe and happy holiday season. I hope everyone gets those new running shoes they coveted. But the really important gifts are your health, your family, and what you can give back in terms of your attitude and your leadership. So, really, I'll see you out there. Got a great tune for you here. It's Matt Mays and El Torpedo. It's called Wicked Come Winter. A little topical winter action snuck in there. Good tune. I like it. So rock out, man.
My dear, when it gets wicked here, come. lost my money, lost my mind, lost time. Traveling light when the snow is falling heavy down.
Listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, run, live. The podcast for all your running needs.